ego is always born out of insecurity. Ego is fed by things that are extrinsic. Confidence is fed by things that are intrinsic. Your confidence feeds 100%. On your values, on your certainty of who you are and what you're called to and what you will do.
Welcome to the Ronin Mindset. My name is Steve Didier, and today we've got a very, very special guest on. His name is AJ Adams. He has a company called The Million Dollar Marketer, and he has an amazing story as well. And I'm just going to let you tell the rest of the story, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Honored and privileged to be on the show.
I'm honored to have you here, man. We haven't really, you know, interacted a whole lot, but when I met you at that, that seminar that we went to in Vegas, we met through Yep. So, So good friend of mine and connected us, and you know, like the times that we've talked, I've really been inspired by the stuff you do and your approach to, you know, business and life and, you know, fatherhood and being a husband and just everything across the board. I've been very impressed with you. So it's my privilege to have you on. I think you'll have a lot of value to share with people.
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about your background. Like obviously you're successful now. But you didn't come from that originally.
No. And it's interesting. I've been on a journey of redefining what success is to me. You know, it used to be make multiple six figures, have a business, and I've accomplished all that and multiple times over. But now what success means is it's really having more of that freedom to do what I want, when I want, where I want, with who I want, in whatever way I want. And it's been a journey of learning that, but the journey of really going from where I was to where I am now. So a quick synopsis of where I was. I'm a shy kid from a tiny island. I grew up on the island of Guam. Was not born to money. The only privilege I had was the privilege of being born into adversity and parents who were struggling financially and to figure out life for themselves. But stayed together. My parents were married over 30 years before my dad passed last year. And They laid enough of that foundation that set me on the right path. So I came. That's where I came from. Middle school dropout. Eventually got a GED after completing total of maybe 1 year of high school, three colleges, 45 credits because I dropped out three times into the first semester because I realized this doesn't work for me. You know, I'm in classes and the person that the instructor that's teaching about communication is sending emails with poor communication, and I quickly realized I need to find something else. This whole system is not working. And you know, one thing that's really helped me in life is pattern recognition. Just observing the world and recognizing patterns. And I recognized that college is a system that teaches you how to be an employee. I didn't want to be an employee. And I've had lots of jobs as an employee, but in every job, I learned, I gained skills, and then I moved on. So eventually, I jumped into the world of business because I wanted to learn marketing, and no college was teaching. Would teach me marketing without 2 years of useless prerequisite courses. I don't need to learn about doing an English class. I've written multiple books. I've written number one best-selling books. I have an Amazon bestseller. And none of that came from college. It came from just me learning how to learn and committing myself to mastering a craft. And it's been, since I first jumped into business, it's been about 11 years now, going on 12. And haven't looked back.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, it takes a lot of people, myself included. It takes a lot of people a lot of time to find their own way, find their path in life, and being able to shake loose from what, you know, is kind of traditionally expected of you in society is a tough thing to do sometimes. Like you'd say, go to school, go to high school, go to college, get a job. That's success. And, you know, that's nothing that I tried. I dropped out of college as well. I'm kind of a similar sort of background in that, you know, I grew up in the country in Minnesota, so there was no money privilege. There was, you know, nothing like that.
My wife, most of,
rural Minnesota, NASCAR hats, you know, the whole thing. So I, the traditional mentality around here is, you know, marry your high school sweetheart, get a job, maybe go to college and get a better job. You know, that's kind of the thing. So, and I never really subscribed to that myself either. You know, that wasn't my path. I dropped out of college initially and, you know, the whole thing. But like you said, the basis for work ethic and some other things was laid by my parents. They're still together. They're gonna have their 57th wedding
Oh,
anniversary
wow.
this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that gave me the base. You know, like when you're talking about that, I completely relate to that and understand that.
Yeah, it's all of that. I've learned not to look back with regret, but look back with appreciation because everything that every trial, every hard season, whether it was with my parents in our family or what I've gone through my individually, has made me who I am. And I think that that's a big shift, with having that, the Ronin mindset. When there's no one there to lead you toward where you want to go, you've got to find that path. And I've had some great leaders, I've had some great mentors along the way, but no one who was doing or even now is still doing what I am doing, what I've wanted to do. And eventually, I did find, I found some mentors and coaches who I've invested to work with a lot of money in that in those spaces. But so much of it, I think you have to start there. I think it's a disadvantage to have privilege because it robs you of the opportunity to learn what that real grit is, learn what you're actually made of, because you don't know what you have until what you have inside you until you have nothing outside of you.
Right. That's a pretty profound statement when you think about it. Because I agree. Like going through things, that builds character. That's where you find out what, you know, who you truly are.
Yeah.
I know when I had built my little real estate business, I was killing it, and then when I got wiped out in the crash of 08, and guys, the psychology of men very well, we attach so much of our self-worth and our identity to what we do and how much money we make and success and recognition. And when that's stripped away from you, you're left with just, who am I?
Yeah. And I think every man has to go through that. And I know we're living in an era of, well, there's no gender identity, it's all fluid. No, there's male psychology and there's female psychology, and that's just how it is. And if you think differently, that's fine, but you're wrong. We're
100%.
builders. We provide, we lead, we pastor. That's who we are. And the faith is a cornerstone, foundation of who I am as a person. And I've learned that over years, but I've been married, it'll be going on 15 years now. And
Nice.
I've learned that who I am as a when I got married, I started to learn who I am as a man and who I'm not. When I had kids, when I was trying to pursue and build a career, when I stepped into business, there's just all of these phases. And eventually you get to a place, at least for me, and I think men do, where you lose everything, and then you have to reevaluate, like you said, who you are, and then you discover who you are outside of anything other than who God has created you to be. This is who I am. This is my mission. This is my purpose. And now all the other stuff you can do much more impactfully because your identity is no longer tied to your family. It's no longer tied to your business or your success. It's tied to
Yep.
who was I made to be, and am I fulfilling that? And that's the true definition I would put on success. Like, am I fulfilling the God-given purpose for which I was created? If I'm doing that, everything else will flow from that. And that's what I've seen as I've transitioned. I've done the four, I've done the 20 hours a day building business. I've done the hustle and grind. And not about it anymore. I'm about working within purpose, with purpose and intention, and being led. And the results from that are exponentially more and come easier because I'm not doing it on my own.
I had the same sort of philosophy about success. It was all measured. The metrics were all money. And I don't think you can have any true happiness if you're just constantly chasing the dollar. There's always another level. There's always going to be somebody richer. And if you're playing that comparison game, if you're playing the measured only by money as success, it's not something that you can ever win. It's not everything that you're going to find fulfillment in. I think that men, especially, because you're talking about male psychology, men especially are only happy when they have a purpose. And I think that's something that it took me a little bit to find, that inner self. It took me getting wiped out financially. It took me going through all that depression and that trying to reconcile who I was as a person and as a man to actually get to that spot. So I guess that kind of leads me as I'm talking to the question of like how would you recommend that people get to that point, in their mindset sooner?
There's a few things I would do. So one, it's my mentor now, he's a multi-millionaire. He's very strong in his faith. He's been on one of the most recognized speakers in the world, touring on with Les Brown, some of the biggest events, Brian Tracy, Willie Jolly, Tim Story. Those are the people he surrounds himself with,
The
and that's the
heavyweights.
point. Yeah, get yourself around people who, not just simply who are doing what you want to do, because there's a lot of people doing what I want to do, as I'm looking forward to the next 10, 20 years, but they're not people I want to be. And so we often hear, go find someone who's doing what you want to do and learn how they're doing it. Well, I want to find someone who's, in addition to that, and more importantly, who is being the type of man that I want to be, and go find out what do they do so that they can be and they can show up in that way. Because like you said, so much of our identity is tied to what we do. So find someone who is not only doing what you want to do, but they're being the type of man you want to be, and align yourself with that. And what my mentor told me was this. He broke it down to decades. I think this is important for any man that's listening. Women have their own journey, but for the men listening, which is probably majority of the audience, in your 20s, prior to your 20s, you have no idea who you are. As a teenager, you're going to go through all these fashion phases, groups, cliques. That's why you have cliques in high school. Everyone's trying to figure out who they are, and they're aligning with whatever makes sense. And it keeps changing because it's none of it's all external. None of it's intrinsic. In your 20s, you start deciding who you are, but you still don't know. You still don't actually know who you are. And then in your 30s, you're starting to solidify, okay, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. These are my goals. This is what I aspire to. And some may get it a little earlier, but statistically, men don't really step into becoming men and taking on responsibility till their late 20s. Now it's early 30s, mid 30s. In your 40s, and I'll be 40 at the beginning of the year. That's where you, and this is what I'm learning from my mentor. In your 40s, you really establish, this is who I am. I know who I am. I know my values. And you start to operate in that, and that's where you're building. Now you're really building business, career, whatever it is. In your 50s, you're now it's beginning to enjoy it because it's established and you're expanding it and you're really have a solid foundation. But your 60s and 70s is where you're the most impactful. That's where you have gained wisdom, you've built, you're enjoying it, enjoying your life, your family, and now you're giving it away to others. But so many men, especially when you're depending on who you're watching, I don't. There are a lot of guys I watch, and I won't drop names because they do have value. I don't want to diminish that at all. But it's all about work, 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 work. Just do everything you can. But it's not with intention. I've done a lot of things that have taught me good lessons, but it wasn't with the level of intention, and so it was all for naught. There was no eternal consequence to it. It didn't produce what it needed. And once you get to a point where if you're watching this, you think, oh, I want to generate $1 million. I want to make multiple six figures. I've done that. Once you do it, you realize it's not that big of a deal.
I know. I've been there, and you can always go, okay, well, I want to make multiple seven figures. Well, I want to make multiple eight figures. And that's great. But again, you're just chasing something that you'll never catch.
Right.
But I think you really, obviously, you hit on something there. But there's something, obviously, they say the people you surround yourself, you become the sum total of the five closest people you hang around. I think people need to be intentional about that. And I really like what you said about finding a mentor or modeling yourself after somebody who not just has what you want, but is who you want to be.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge difference. Because a lot of the guys that I follow and that I look up to on social media, there's this huge push against masculinity these days. We've talked about this. And
Yeah,
I
it's
think that's
over
really,
time.
it's impacting young men on a really negative way. Because there are fewer and fewer role models out there to really model who you should be as a man.
Yeah,
And the
they're
ones who the ones who are the ones who are promoted to the forefront are not necessarily the men that you should be modeling yourself after.
Yeah, and I'll say it this way, and I wholeheartedly believe this. I will stand on this hill and die on this hill. There's the problem is there are so many ideas and ideologies around what masculinity is, and 99% of them are wrong. So you have, on one side you have it's you know your what is his name Dan Bilzerian, you know, he is everything that I never want to be as a man, that I never want my son to be, that I never want my daughters to marry. It's money, it's women, they're an object, I'm a conqueror, and that's inherent in every man to be a conqueror. That is natural, that's
100%.
good. That manifestation of it is wrong. It's actually evil, I would argue. Then you have the other side, which is just be about family and you know just work a job, modest living, wife and kids, and they're both incomplete and to a degree wrong. The whole picture, and I learned this from a mentor who was really he was a mentor for a day because he was an older gentleman. I was a pastor in a church, and he was 80 something years old on his deathbed, and we actually went to visit with him. He was a real pillar within that community, and my wife and I went. This was 12 over a decade ago, and I asked him, "What piece of advice would you give me as a man, based on the your years of wisdom?" And he was wise. He's a godly man. He said, "Be a whole man. Be a whole man, intellectually, emotionally, physically, financially, relationally, spiritually. Like be a whole man." And that's where men get it wrong. It's not who can spit the farthest, who can burp the loudest. It's not do you have guns. It's not you know are you the alpha? Like I have more respect for a man who is 150 pounds soaking wet but will fight till his last breath than I am a man who's you know a linebacker who is the type of guy who you know recently there was the psychopath who attacked women and children at a park, and there were men all over the place. Most of them ran. Some of them hid behind trees. One of them took out a phone and filmed, and then one guy, only one guy, took action, jumped in between the women and children, the women and children, and this the psychopath, and stopped him. That's the kind of guy. That's what masculinity is. So, you know, that's where men are missing the mark. And then and it's because there's no standard. There's no universal standard that they know of. And this may be controversial for some of your listeners, but hey, if we're not a little controversial, are we even adding value? The universal standard that I look at is Jesus Christ. That is the standard of masculinity. With women and children, he was soft, he was tender, he was the lion. With evil, with hypocrites and liars, he was the lion, and he could destroy, but he also loved, and he knew. And that's where men get it wrong. You need to learn how to switch gears. When you're out in the marketplace, be the lion. You're hungry, you're hunting. And when you go home to your family, you're the lamb. They know you as soft. Some men, you know, this will piss some guys off. Your dogs do a better job of showing tough and tender than you do as a man with your family and your wife and kids. You know, so
Dogs are
there
generally
has to
better
be.
than human beings anyway. I mean,
Yeah, that's why I have three dogs.
for sure. No, I saw that same thing that you referenced, that guy run around, and there's one guy out of all those so-called men, all those males
Yeah.
there, one guy. But that's what true masculinity is. For me, there's no such thing as toxic masculinity. Toxic and masculinity are an opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, that.
100%. A true masculine male is, like you said, they're gonna be gentle, they're gonna be protective, they're gonna be caring, and they're gonna be nurturing and supportive with their
Yeah.
loved ones, their
Because if
family.
it's toxic, it's not masculinity. That's people
Exactly.
that's the oxymoron of that term, toxic masculinity. If it's toxic, it's not masculine. And what everyone
100%.
is referring to, and here's a distinction where men need to delineate between these two. There's principle and there's practice. And often when we're looking for an example of masculinity, we're looking for the practice. What do I do? As opposed to the principle of the belief, the value, and that determines who you be. And that's poor grammar. But we're so focused on how do I do versus how do I be? What you do is your actions, and a bad man can take good action. A good man can take bad action. So it doesn't come down to your actions and what you do. It comes down to who you be. As an individual, as a person, what are your values that drive you? What do you believe as a, how do you show up in the world, in the different spaces and places that, in which you operate? How are you, what is your being as a person? and your actions come from that. So if you work on your being, find an example, a model of a man who is being what you want. And that may mean that you learn how to be who you need to be in order to achieve your goals by someone who's not doing what you want to do. And I wrote this phrase for myself a long time ago, and I still repeat it often. If you're not yet where you want to be, it's because you're not yet who you need to be. Another way to say it is, if you're not yet doing what you want to do, it's because you're not yet being who you need to be.
Exactly. It's the same sort of thing that, like, when I use goal setting or I'm talking to people about how to set goals and achieve their goals, it's like, not the goal itself. It's like, who do I have to become in order to be the person who can achieve these goals, or be the man that can achieve these goals? Who do I have to come to achieve this? Who do I have to become?
Exactly.
And that's, yeah. And the more people focus on that, because you're the same, I can tell there's a conversation here. I have a very strong code of ethics that guides my actions in life. I'm very firm. My code of ethics, my moral code, everything is a very firm framework from which I operate, in which I view the world and the way that I gauge my behaviors. Is everybody perfect? No. Like you said, good men, even with a strong moral framework, can still do bad acts. But at least you have a guideline. You know, for many people like yourself, it's your faith.
Yeah.
You know, and that provides a great structure from which to operate. But even, you know, like... My whole family is very, very Christian. That's the way I was raised. I don't particularly subscribe to it. I'm not against Christianity. I'm not against religion, but I don't necessarily subscribe to it. But that being said, I can admire the quote. When I look at my dad, it's a shining example of somebody who isn't loud about it, but just quietly goes about their life and lives.
Mm-hmm.
What he preaches, you know what I mean? And that is because he's solid in his faith. He's solid in who he is as a man.
Yeah.
And his actions stem from that.
Yeah. And that's I think that's a good point. I mean, I forget who the quote comes from, but the greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. And I went through that journey. Like, I completely walked away from all things church, all things quote-unquote Christian, because there's just so much hypocrisy. There's just showing up on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday, living like a hellion. You know, it just didn't line up. And that's where, again, the concept of principle versus practice, I had to reconcile that. And it's been a long time, like, in prayer and thought and talking to mentors and talking to men who'd been through that journey. How do I reconcile this? And I had to separate the people and their practice from the God I serve and his principles. And it's like entrepreneurship. I mean, it's really not different in terms of the concept behind it. In the world of business entrepreneurship, you have these guys who, I make $10,000 a month, so I'm gonna go buy a Rolex. Well, it's because you have no responsibilities. Like, you think that's what it is. It's, I'm just gonna make a bunch of money for myself. Then you have guys like yourself, myself. I'm going to build something. And I wrote this, another quote. I write these little AJ-isms for myself. When I feel like I receive something, I write it down. Build something worth being known for. Leave something worth being remembered for. That takes it away from just building for myself. Because if people know what I'm building, it can impact them. If they don't know, it can't impact them. And if I leave something worth being remembered for, they remember the impact. Now, the remembering isn't, oh, AJ Adams did this. The remembering is, I was impacted in this way, regardless of if they remember it was me. And so that's that Bible principle of leaving an inheritance for your children's children. It's financial. It's the truth. It's the teaching. It's the example. And that's where I had to explore, okay, am I throwing it all out, or do I need to separate the truth from the people who failed to live it properly? And I was so fixated on that. That's all I saw. And once I was able to reconcile that, I started seeing, you know what? Even in the church, there is, you know, the 47 Ronin. There is those who adhere to the truth and the values, and it will always be a minority. That's just the nature of of human psychology. There will always only be the minority of people who hold to the truth, because holding to the truth of anything, whether it's in faith or it's in business, requires that you hold the line and that you don't, you're not blown by the breeze of another ideology. That's what's happening right now. This whole wokeism movement is people who didn't hold to the truth and now they're being swayed. And it's happening in businesses, Bud Light, Target. It's happening in churches, flying the rainbow flag. It's happening in all of these spaces because of men who lack the courage and fortitude to hold the line, take the gut punch, take the boot to the teeth, and then smile and keep standing. That's where it's lacking.
It can be a very intimidating thing, standing up to whatever the latest trend is, in this case, the whole wokeism and the alphabet mafia. Yeah. And I think with a lot of people, it goes back against being solid in your core beliefs, knowing who you are, knowing the moral framework and the ethical framework from which you operate. If you're solid in that, it gets a lot more easier to stand up and say, take that kick to the teeth, like you said. But if you don't, then that's why it's easy to back down, give way, sway, go with the breezes of whatever's popular. And I think it all goes back to that weakening and the war against masculinity, because truly masculine men are going to know themselves and they're going to stand up for what's right.
Yeah. And it's getting super, getting crystal clear on, go back to the psychology of it. People who are swayed, it's because they fear that if I don't align with this ideology or whatever it is, I will lose blank. So as a man, I will not be swayed by certain things. Because if I risk losing my business, if I risk losing my life, I have to evaluate, well, if I do align with this ideology, what do I lose? My integrity cannot be purchased. My legacy and my purpose cannot be replaced. The one thing that I will not lose is fulfilling my God-given purpose and calling. That I will not sacrifice. So if I lose everything, I will lose everything, including family, as long as I don't lose that. And that's what men don't have. There's no anchor. There's no thing that is so important to them that they're willing to sacrifice everything else for that thing. And often men that think they have that thing is their business. So they go through, they've been divorced twice. Now they're, with a third wife who's half their age. It's just, and then we celebrate it because, you stuck it through. No, you lack commitment to anything. So you've continued to be swayed and you held on to the thing that didn't matter the most. I posted something on LinkedIn, which I've never been very active on LinkedIn, but this continues to gain traction. There's been 150 people plus who have interacted with it and commented or shared it, and over almost 10,000 people have seen it. And all I put in the post, it was just a black background with text that said, "Put God first." And I wrote I was just dumping my thoughts and the order in which people prioritize things: God, family, work. For most men, it's work, family, God's at the bottom. Or maybe some guys, it's God, work, family. But any priority that is out of order, out of that initial God, family, work, it's completely out of order. And it throws everything off. And most men don't have a proper order.
I mean, I was a victim of that when I was in that hustle mentality and building my real estate company. It was just grind, 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 grind. Everything came second to the business. Everything. And
including yourself. We do that. We put ourselves second.
Yep. Everything, because I was so tied up. My identity was so involved with, I'm this successful real estate agent. I have this real estate business, this company. And that's one of the reasons that it hit me so hard psychologically when it all got stripped away, because that was my sole identity. I had my wife was a distant second. everything was a distant second to that. Yeah. And
but we realize I'm building this for you. Well, that's why I can't spend time with you, because I'm building this for you. As opposed to, if I have to sacrifice you to build something for you, then I'm really not doing it for you, because it's not serving you.
But that was exactly it. I'm doing this for us. I'm doing this for us. I'm doing 7 days a week. I'm working till 10 o'clock at night. I'm doing it for us. No, ultimately it was feeding my ego, ultimately.
And that's a good point. Feeding your ego. We think of ego as the what I might the inflated sense of self. I need to do things that validate what I perceive myself to be. Really, ego was always born out of insecurity. I don't believe I'm XYZ, so I've created this idea of what I want to be, and now I'm going to do everything to feed that. And you have to feed ego because ego, it's not something that can sustain itself. Confidence can sustain itself. Confidence is cyclical. It's like you believe you can do something, and I define confidence as knowing you'll get it done, even when you don't know how you'll get it done. It's that surety, that certainty, and not a
That
guarantee.
comes from within.
Yeah,
That comes from
it's
within.
yeah, exactly. And the ego is fed by things outside of you, so you have to
Exactly.
feed ego with things you do, because ego is fed by things external to you. Confidence. And I'm just learning this now. As you said that, I'm putting it together in a whole nother way that I never had before. I love when this happens. Ego is fed by things that are extrinsic. Confidence is fed by things that are intrinsic. Your confidence feeds
100%.
on your values, on your certainty of who you are and what you're called to and what you will do. I'll go back and watch this episode just for that exchange we just had, because my mind just got blown.
Yeah, no, that lays it out really clearly. Confidence is all internal. Ego relies on external factors to feed it, or it dies.
Yeah.
I've never really thought about it in exactly those terms, but that's good.
Yeah, for
That's
everyone
true.
listening, Steve and I we just had a moment of blowing our own
It was a bromant.
That's
That's
awesome.
awesome. Well, so all right, AJ, in closing, since we kind of geared toward the masculinity, if you're a young man, late teens, 20s, and you're searching, you're confused, maybe you feel like you're in the minority with all this stuff going on. What kind of things can you do with your mindset and your experience to, especially in the current social and political climate, what can you do to solidify yourself as a man so you can identify your purpose and move forward?
So what I'm gonna say, a lot of 20-something-year-olds are not gonna like. So put your big boy pants, put your mouth guard in, and strap on your cup, because this is gonna be hard for you to swallow. Your 20s, you're not going to figure out what you want to do. You'll think you know, but it won't be the thing that long term you're going to do. So just accept that. You have ego, accept that. Sit down, shut up, and listen to older, wiser men who've walked your journey. Start there. And I'm gonna be very direct, because men need to be talked to direct. Get out of your mom's house. Stop letting your being overmothered. Stop being coddled. You need life to be hard for you so that you can be fortified. Steel is made by through a forging process, and that means adversity, it means struggle. Don't walk into it like a moron, but rather spend your 20s exploring different things. There's been studies. This is statistically proven. It's called the success sequence. And it's if men do these three things, they will be successful in life. It's just proven. And this
Yeah.
goes completely counterintuitive to the whole culture war that we're in now. Graduate from high school. Now, I'm a middle school dropout. So am I contradicting myself? No. I went and got a GED, because graduating high school or getting a GED is not about the finishing the classes, it's about accomplishing the milestone. If you don't accomplish that first milestone of life, you set yourself up where you have now lack of confidence and doubt because you didn't do the most basic thing. Knock that milestone out. Just get it done. Work a full-time job, like 40 hours a week. Whether it's one job for 40 hours a week or four jobs for 10 hours a week, work full-time, earn money, stack that money. This is not your season to play video games. This is not your season to be on leisure. You haven't earned leisure. Your leisure comes when you're in your 50s and 60s, a little bit along the journey, but now's the time to get to work. You don't need to date, you need to work. And then, when you've established yourself by doing those first two things, graduating, working a full-time job, then go find an amazing woman and commit your life to her, to loving her, and marry her and have kids. Do it in that sequence between your 20s and your 30s. You will be successful. And then in that, do everything we talked about on this episode. Find the mentors, lay a foundation, understand the difference between ego and confidence, and don't follow men who are not the kind of man you want to be. Separate principles, which are values, beliefs, from practices, which are the things they do. ask who is he being, not just what is he doing, and then who are you being versus what are you doing.
I love it. Powerful. You know what, we could do a whole nother podcast this. I'm going to add one small thing. You said, you know, find that woman. I think that's the woman that you choose can have such an enormous impact on your success or your failure in life.
Yeah.
It is absolutely astounding. And I've had the opportunity to be with some shining examples of bad women. I've been with good women, and I can tell you from personal experience, that woman can be your anchor. You know,
guys, you and I know the gravity of that, and a lot of, a lot of you guys listening will understand that. But you know, if you're a boxer in a ring, Floyd Mayweather, no matter how good of a boxer he is, and how well he can coach someone else, when he's in the ring, he cannot coach himself.
Nope.
He needs a coach on the sideline. Your wife, she's the one outside the ring while you're fighting, while you're grinding, while you're hustling. She's on the outside. She sees what you don't see. So submit to her and listen to her wisdom, because women are just, she's smarter than you. Brother, listen up. She is smarter than
you. Well, if she really loves you and you guys are good, she's going to know you intimately. Yeah. Your weaknesses, your vulnerabilities, your strengths, and everything that goes with that. And she is the one person in your life that can check you if you need to be checked, tell you if you're taking the wrong path, and support you if you're following the right path. And that's, you know, I don't want to get into the whole masculine feminine thing, but you know, it's one of those things where if you choose the wrong one, the results from that are so absolutely horrendous in terms of your success and your happiness. It is astronomical. So just to tack on to what AJ said, when you're looking for that woman, make sure you're looking for the right qualities in a woman. Very important.
Absolutely.
So, well said. All right, brother. Well, hey, I have got to run and close this up. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're on vacation, getting some stuff. I know you got some big plans, and you and your wife are, you're kind of taking some time to map out the rest of the year. That's pretty much it. So I'm going to let you get back to that, but I thank you for carving out the time. It's a Monday morning, and I really do appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Talk soon, brother.